All right. Hello and welcome to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Burns. This is our very first show. I was wanting to dedicate the show to my father, who died of cancer a couple of years ago. And if it wasn't for him and his support and persistence, I wouldn't be here today. But just to let everyone know a little bit about my background, I am a naturopathic doctor in the state of Arizona. I'm a published researcher in alternative medicine, and I'm also part of the Arbinger Professional Network. And I absolutely love being able to talk with people and let them know what things I can do for them. And I have, this week, there's been a lot of chaos that's been going on in my home. It's a brand new dog in. It's like my child's been very excited about it. And the thing that ended up coming up for me was, for today was trying to come up with a topic, and it's be still and know. And part of what happens when we get in chaos is that all of a sudden our perception changes from one of peace, where we're centered and we know what's going on because we can observe. That's like when we're in the chaos, and how that ends up, distorting our view and our vision. And to let you know how exactly that works is, normally I have a very mild-mannered child who, once we ended up finding a dog and coming into our house, which we absolutely love this dog, my daughter just all of a sudden went, wasn't herself. She, it's like because of having a new addition in the family, it's like her energy got a little crossed and she wasn't sleeping, and her energy levels just went high. And as I'm sitting here trying to help her, she is trying to tell me to back off. She is trying to be, pretty much bossy, the total opposite of what she normally is. And with me even trying to help her on, instructing her on little things on how to take care of a dog. And nonetheless, she was just trying to be very independent. I already know what I'm doing. And this is from a five-year-old that I was getting all this from. Basically, Miss Independent, this is my dog, no one touch. Basically the mothering aspect ended up coming out of, I am going to protect this animal. And then I have this poor dog who is just kind of confused on where exactly he's supposed to be, because he was at a rescue shelter for a little bit. And then now he's here in our house and is just trying to feel his way and trying to feel comfortable with that. So that's why I was kind of wanting to get into this. In my physics class, we ended up having, there's this little equation called the law of entropy. Basically, it's creating order out of disorder. I tried to use this on my parents quite a bit as an excuse for me not to clean my room. And I go, but if I create order in my room, I'm going to be creating disorder somewhere else. And of course, my father, who is an engineer, never bought it. And he says, thanks, but you still need to clean your room. So what happened here is that in my house for the last few days is I definitely have had disorder. And with the energies, the different energies that have been in my house, it's just this theme of be still and know. So what happens is that whenever we're in a stressful situation, whatever it could be, whether it's at work, at home, friends, family, sometimes that chaos can actually distort our view actually about ourselves. And so what happens is then if there's something that ends up coming up, is that we start to doubt ourselves. We start to second guess, what we do, because we don't have that clarity that we had before, because we feel, that we're in it. I guess you could say in the manure pile so deep that we feel like that we can't dig ourselves out of. And so we feel overwhelmed. So then it's kind of then how in the world do we end up feeling this peace that we're supposed to be having? And I'll be getting to that later on how we end up doing that. A lot of the patients that I end up seeing have a lot of gut issues. And a lot of times that chaos that they have, or the stress or anxiety, depression that ends up coming in with this, actually can trigger the IBS or the celiacs or whatever gut issue that they're having. So a lot of times doing the mind exercises can either help or hinder the gut issues that are going on. To give you a case in point, I myself have irritable bowel syndrome, and I absolutely am a sci-fi, fan. I mean, it's like I like Star Trek, Star Wars. I also like the Avengers, but I'm also trying to write a fictional novel as well as sci-fi. And as I go through, in my mind, how I envision like some of the fight scenes and stuff like that, which are going to be like a little intense, I notice that it's like I get butterflies in my stomach, and my body is like feeling this, even though I'm physically not going through, anything stressful like that, like in a space war or having like, it's like enemies trying to attack another planet. Still, my body ends up feeling it. And that can happen for a lot of people as well, is that we can make stuff up in our mind, even though we're not close to a situation. And what we do is we end up then sending the signals to the body that, hey, something's going on, I'm stressed. And then the trigger starts, and then the inflammation comes back up again, and whatever type gut-related issue that is going on. And for the longest time, everything that I was doing, I was taking like every herb that I could think of, changing my diet, trying to do what I can to eliminate stress. But then as I started thinking of things, I was actually putting the stress in. So I was creating my own drama, which was inflaming my irritable bowel syndrome. And it took me a while to learn like how not to do that, to where it's like I can still go ahead and write my outlines that I need for my science fiction novel, but not have my IBS actually inflamed. And that actually took a lot of work with trying to find the confidence in myself. And as I was going to medical school, which are very long hours, and trying to learn how to find the confidence in yourself because you were just so tired from doing clinic shifts and getting home at 11 o'clock at night, and then having to be back at the medical center at 7 o'clock the next morning. It's like that's when you start doubting yourself because you're so tired, and even like being fatigued and not having that sleep actually will start also playing on your mind as well. What happens is that the adrenal glands end up getting involved in this, because then you're in a flight or fight response, and the body thinks that it's in a very stressful situation. With the adrenal glands, in our world that we have, we already feel that we are already in a stress response. So anytime we're adding in like caffeine or like stress at work or wherever it may be, social situations, and then we also have our own, dramas, internal dramas, that we deal with. We keep adding and adding and adding to that, to where we feel like that there's no way out. There's no way to be able to feel centered in ourselves and being able to observe with everything around us. A lot of psychology journals have even said that during stressful situations, that our insecurities that we feel inside actually are more pronounced during those times, that we are under those stresses. And so we bring on more doubt, more insecurities, which then brings on more anxiety and more depression for people, which then brings on the insomnia and it leads on and on, to where it's like some people have like emotional eating habits that they do, where it's like not very healthy eating that ends up going on. So the question is with all this is that if our body can take whatever that we have, medications, herbs, whatever it may be, to be able to help us out, why will it counteract everything that's going on? Well, the body is such an amazing tool with how it self-regulates. And a lot of times it will. I mean, it's like there are a lot of people that I have seen for patient-wise where it, whatever we try to do, the body does the exact opposite of whatever's trying to go on. And I've had one patient who has gone to multiple doctors, and everything that was done on this person, the exact opposite was being done. It didn't matter if it was herbs, bioidentical hormones, or even regular pharmaceuticals. The exact opposite was happening to this person, and to the point to where the person's body actually started rejecting a lot of the capsule forms of the herbs that they were needing to take. I mean, it's like literally it would, you know, the body would, you know, reject the pill with wanting to just actually get it out of the mouth and didn't even want to go down the throat. So sometimes with some people, it can actually get to that, to that type of situation where the body just starts rejecting everything that we even try to do. So that's why stress management at an early stage is actually quite beneficial than, you know, trying to do it later on. And so then what are some of the keys then that we need to do to help out with this? And what for us to know ourselves, and for us to know ourselves and how we know that we have confidence in ourselves, is that we have hope, we have faith, we have meekness, we have goodness, we have peace. And we're able to see the world a little differently and not think that everything is bad, but we are actually able to see the good and what exactly is going on, which I think is amazing compared to the other side, which is that there is chaos. There is also, you know, all this, you know, chaos, negativity, the insomnia and everything like that. So, and then what happens is that from this, you know, I mean, it's like we start feeding into and start holding on to these negative energies. And so what happens is that we are needing to find tools that we need to be able to help out with these negativities. And so what happens is that we end up, you know, doubting ourselves and our abilities, you know, especially when it comes to, like, let's say we want to find a new job or a new hobby to where we can't even enjoy them. So, you know, every once in a while today, you might hear one of two guests. One of them will probably be my child who might be coming in and asking for a couple of things. But now, from this, what exactly are we supposed to do? Is because we're so focused in on what we're doing and we have the blinders on and we see the world so differently, the thing that we need to do is actually, you know, write down what our triggers are. We have to be aware of what exactly is going on around us. So when there's a stressful situation, it's like, do we hold our breath? Is our breath shallower? Does our head end up going down? Do you bring, you know, your shoulders forward? Do you end up turning away from someone? It's, you know, can you not, like, see someone, you know, look at them in the face, or do you not say anything at all? You go into another room. I mean, there's all these triggers that can be there. And once you become aware of those triggers, that's when the change is going to start to happen. So, and what happens is that, that then what happens is that once we're able to see that, then we're able to make the change. And it's a very slow process for that change because, you know, other things need to happen. Like for us to be able to see a situation differently, we actually need to be in a calm place. And for that to happen is that we need to start, you know, like thinking of things that you used to like to do, or things that, you know, you enjoy doing. Like right now, it's like, was there a family vacation or a vacation that you liked? Was there, you know, I mean, like music that you liked, or dancing, or a movie? You know, it's like, so stuff like that is going to end up helping out, being able to trigger here. I'm sorry, I'm about ready to laugh. My daughter's taking the door and, you know, closing it, open and closing it. So so there's little tricks that we can do.
I didn't ask you.
You need to stop now. So what happens is that there are little things that we can do that are going to help us be able to pull ourselves out of the situation that we're in that's stressful, for us to be able to look at the situation differently, because maybe it's not as bad as it was. Maybe that coworker wasn't offending us. Maybe they're just trying to like offer help because they're seeing like how stressed that we are. So a lot of times what plays into this is like everyone's different, you know, like perceptions of everything, like the difference between what's going on with the dog that we have, whose perception is this where we're going to be or not? And so from that, I mean, it's like I've got one child who is just so excited for this dog. Would you like to say hello to everybody? So I got my daughter here who is... Okay, we're going to go to a short break. I'll be back in a minute. Alrighty, so it looks like we're back from break. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to hear us today. One of the things I like to do before I end up going back here is to let everyone know about the USO The USO is actually one of the charities that I support, and it's an awesome charity. They are a nonprofit organization who actually help our men and women out of the of our U.S. military, and they said that they're not going to stop until everyone is home. So I would like to thank them for all the support that they're giving to our soldiers and also those that are away from home. So hopefully every one of them will be able to come back home, and I want to be able to thank them for serving our country. So now, and talk about stressful, that's a very stressful job. So now, going back to, you know, like how do you end up finding this peace? How do you end up finding this, you know, what you need to be able to look at a situation differently? This is something that doesn't happen overnight. This is something that ends up taking time. And for me, when I started looking at the chaos I was bringing into a situation, and then actually seeing like what my triggers were, it was just like, oh my gosh, I became very self-conscious about what I was doing and was wondering, I'm like, so how am I supposed to change this? How do I become a person who can be centered and still have yet things go on around me and not have it affect me? And I'll be honest with you, there are times where I don't do as well. I fall flat on my face, trying to, you know, like keep the confidence and the peace in myself, to where there are times where I have to just kind of say, all right, I need to give myself a timeout here for a couple of minutes and then try to go back in doing what I'm doing. And so there's, you know, like one of my instructors said, you know, you got to build those muscles. You have to build those confidence muscles. And, you know, every time you try, you end up building that confidence a little bit more. And when you build that up, you actually start to empower yourself. And when you do that, then you're able to, you know, like work on other things and be able to do other things that you didn't think that you could do. And so at this point, I mean, it's like I didn't think that I could do radio. I mean, it scared me. And here I am, like, doing my first show. And it's thrilling to me. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, this is, like, such an awesome hobby to do. But what you got to do is you got to be consistent in being able to find those triggers and be able to work on them. Now, you're not supposed to work on them all at one time. If you try and do that, you're going to feel so overwhelmed. So, but just trying to be like aware of it and what it is that you're bringing to the table is all that you're mainly supposed to concentrate on. You're not supposed to concentrate on like the person in the next cubicle or family member or friend or something like that on what they're adding to. What you're trying to do is basically focus on self, because you're the only one who can control how you react and what it is that you do. And for you not to be able to add to the chaos, but being able to like ask questions. So that way, if someone comes up to you, you can look at them and just say, you know, it's like, are you trying to, you know, it's like, so I see that you're trying to help me, or, you know, I mean, you can ask different questions because you're seeing things differently because you're in a different place where you can see things a little bit clearer. So, and that's also why too, working on, you know, like, on your peaceful places that you go, that you remember, that you do, whether it's reading a book, listening to music, you know, playing an instrument, going for a walk, or running, or something like that, or, you know, like playing a lot of things that can be done. And like I said, it takes time to be able to learn to think about these things and how peaceful they are, without actually being like in that place. So one of the things that that you have to do is write those things down. I mean, it's like I'm always carrying a notebook with me, so then that way I can like write it down, saying like, oh look, I, you know, like I'm always trying to find something to add something new to my peaceful place, so then that way I have more than one thing to pull from in order for me to be able to get into, you know, my peaceful place with situations that are going on around me. So in one of the, and then as you go along, you end up building more and more to where it doesn't take as long to find that peaceful place. When I first started doing this, I was, going, okay, am I in a place where I should be or am I not? And it's like a little bit would come in. And as soon as I, got it, it was just like, oh my gosh, I'm like, this is like so neat. And then I'd end up building on top of it. And it's just like, it becomes so powerful, so empowering, so addictive to finally know like how to center yourself and being able to see that hope in, in the midst of chaos. And right now with, like my house being as chaotic as it is, I'm sitting there and I'm like having to instruct my, my daughter on, like we can't, it's like, we have a new dog here. You cannot be like in the dog's face and, be bossy and thinking that they're going to automatically respond to you when we've got a dog who is anxious and nervous, doesn't know if they're actually going to be staying or they feel like that they're going to be moving because of what happened to them. So I'm like, you've got to give, like your dog some space. I'm like, don't worry about it. I mean, she's like so insistent right now that the dog sleep with her in her room that I'm just like, you have got to let him figure out where he wants to be, where he's most comfortable at in order for, like both of you to be able to bond. So I told her that the bonding is just not going to happen unless both of them end up coming together to where she's not so excited and he's not so nervous. So, I mean, and with something as simple as that, I mean, it's like you can play that out in how people interact with each other. A lot of times we don't know how someone else is feeling or what's going on with them to where, but yet we're focused on our stuff with what's going on with us, that when we try to talk to someone else who's going through stuff of their own, we could be offended by someone who here again isn't trying to offend, just because they've got, a lot of their own personal stuff going on as well. So, and there have been many times where I have had to apologize, and it takes a lot of guts to actually get up and apologize. And I mainly do it with my daughter, and where I apologize and I'm just like, I'm sorry, this is how I was feeling. I know I didn't mean to do that. So, I mean, it's like the number one person I apologize to is her, and also to people who I interact with as well, whether it's like in the office or at church or other social gatherings. If I feel like that I have offended someone, I will go and apologize. And sometimes they just are like, no, it's, okay, you didn't do anything. So, I mean, those are, as you go along the way, I mean, it's like I've tripped over my feet so many times, but it's getting easier and easier. I mean, it's like I used to be like the biggest wallflower ever. And all I would do is kind of like stand back and like observe people to where now, believe it or not, I mean, it's like I am becoming a social butterfly. And I never thought that that would happen. So being able to actually do this and be able to share it with other people, I think is absolutely incredible. Now, some other things that can that actually help with this along the way is a lot of times, there's chemical imbalances that happen, or we're just so in the midst of what's going on that we can't pull ourselves out emotionally. So a lot of times, like being on a pharmaceutical medicine or on some herbs or bioidentical hormones actually helps us to be able to focus on and be able to work on those things that we need to, whether it's our triggers, finding our peaceful places, changing what's on our belief window. And I have seen like many people come in who, it could be something as simple as, like needing a little bit, just a little tweak of their hormones. And so I put them on bioidentical hormone replacement. And, going with bioidentical hormone replacement is actually really tough. Sometimes it's like tough with me and tough with the person because everyone is just so individual with it that it does take some time for the hormones to actually do what they're supposed to be doing. Some people notice like an emotional change right away. Some people are starting to notice that they have more energy, but I tell people to give it about a year because the body's been working one way for so long that it takes some time for it to, you know, go into like another state, which is actually a more balanced state for them. And a lot, and also too, is like with sleep. Sleep is a huge factor in it. Just to kind of give you a little story of how well sleep plays into this, there was a animal rescue that we had a ringtail cat, which is a wild animal out here in Arizona, in our attic for a week. And it scared the living daylights out of me. And this thing would bounce on the air conditioning panels that we had inside the attic, you know, finding, I guess, like food up there, whether it was mice or whatever it was, because we lived out far, and for like a week. And it's like, I'd be up, my heart would be racing. I had absolutely no idea. I thought it was like this big old bear that had been up in my attic because of all the jumping around that was going on. And I actually thought it was in the air conditioning ducts instead of on top of it. And I got so scared and very little sleep that it was, you know, that your mind starts playing tricks on you. And so I had a rescue person come in, do humane trapping, and then found out that it's this little ringtail cat that's probably weighs like maybe somewhere between like 2 to 4 pounds or something like that. And because of a week, a lack of sleep, I was thinking that this thing was, you know, like, in, you know, a bear or, you know, I mean, a jaguar, you know, some wild cat that's out here in the desert, you know, or animal like in my attic. And so that's kind of how our mind can play tricks on us when we don't get the sleep that we need. And so that's why, you know, it's very beneficial, like getting the herbs, getting your adrenal glands tested, because sometimes what can happen is that your cortisol is supposed to be high during the day, like around 7-8 o'clock in the morning, and it's supposed to be low at night. Well, if it's starting to peak at night and it's low during the day, that's the total opposite of what it's supposed to be. That's almost like being on midnight shift somewhere with working. And a lot of times it'll affect health. People will get sick a lot easier from stuff like that. They'll be a little bit more irritated as they go on. So a lot of times I have to like reverse it and actually try and get their cortisol up in the morning and lower at night, so then that way they can get sleep at night. And a lot of times the hormones play a big part of that as well. So if there's an imbalance there, a lot of times insomnia can come in. You got easy irritability, moodiness ends up coming in. So perception is definitely off, and our perception is our reality. And one thing is that when it comes to kids, they are so easy to read, you know, like their perception, you know, and their reality and looking and seeing what's going on. And at this point, there's, you know, my daughter has such an amazing memory that she will bring something up from like a year ago and then she will start crying. She'll say, do you remember when you end up doing like X, Y, or Z? And then she'll start crying and it's like, I'm having a stop her, you know, midpoint and whatever it is that she's remembering, and just trying to bring her back to the present. And trying to teach her like how to control, you know, like her emotions and, you know, not to have that drama, you know, because a lot of times she ends up starting it herself, which seems, you know, like it's very interesting how I see this little mind work and how she ends up going up with this. So it's very interesting on how, like with us, you know, with the lack of sleep, we really start going with it ourselves. And sometimes I can't, you know, say I'm not aware that I'm doing it until, you know, if someone says something to me and then I'm just like, oh my gosh. So that's when I start going through and like, okay, at this point in time, that's when I grab my notebook out and start trying to figure out like what my triggers are. So that way I can be more aware. Like I said, I've been doing this for 3 years now, and I am still learning like what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. But at this point in time, I'm not as hard on myself as I was when I first started, because when I first started, I'm thinking, you know, that there's no way that I could do this. There's no way I could get to a place where I can actually pull myself out and observe what it is that I'm doing. And there were many times I felt like I hit rock bottom and that I couldn't do it. But it's like, as I go along and seeing this, it became easier for me to be able to do it. Like I said, I don't think would be flawless at this. We all make mistakes because that's what we're all here for, is to not be flawless. We're all here to learn from each other and to, you know, look at everyone as people, because we all are equal since we all have faults. And one of the exercises that was very interesting to me, and it does take a lot of brain power to do this, is to look at a person as a person and seeing what's aware of it, to where it's not focused on you but on other people. And even taking like half the day to do that, at first I was so tired by the end of that half of the day that it was a little overwhelming. But now I can do it, more each time. And as I do that, I'm starting to notice like how people interact with me a little bit differently than they were before, because a lot of times other people can feel it. They can feel, if you're seeing them as a person or if you're not. And if you are, they do interact with you differently. Different things happen. It's like at the store, I actually get help. I don't have to go looking for it where when I'm like closed off and I'm like needing to get something, I'm in a hurry. There always seems to be no one around to help me, or I'm putting out the energy, I'm here for a mission, no one bother me. And when I'm actually needing the help during that time. And so that's something that, I'm continually working on and trying to strive to do. So, when it comes to all this, these are some of the tools that I put in with people and try to educate them on. It takes more than, one session, here being on the radio for me to educate my patients on like how to do this. So then that way they're not triggering themselves, right? Or putting the anxiety in with when it comes to a lot of their gut issues. So that way they can bring it down and being able to stabilize their gut issues, because part of it is, a lot of that emotional aspect that ends up coming in. Then, and then once they're able to do that, then they are able to, do other things and put more control on their health in other ways that maybe they haven't thought of before, or looking at their situation in a different light and are a lot more patient with themselves and with other people, and are able to accept like where they're at with their health at that time, and are able to then build upon that until they get to the optimal health where they need to be. Which I find which I think is like fabulous when people are actually able to get to, as I see them work towards their goal and actually being able to get to that goal that they have. And it's just, it inspires me every time that I'm just like, okay, well, I need to work a little harder, a little better at doing this. But as I do that, it's like I only do it like a little at a time. So for me, one of my big things that I was working on was taking something that I used to do and doing it in front of people. So for the longest time, it's like I play the piano at home, but I wouldn't do it in front of people. And now it's like I'm playing the piano at church. Am I perfect at it? No, I mess up every single time at church. Either one song or both songs that I do, it's like one will go okay, the other one won't, or both of them, it's just not a good day. I'm just not feeling it. But it's okay, because I tried the best that I could with the time that I had, and for me to be able to practice, because, like me and like everyone else, there are so many things that we have to juggle, in a day, that a lot of times we're not, able to get to what we want to focus on entirely. And so for me, being able to accept that I tried the best I could yeah, I didn't get the practice in that I wanted to during that week, but I tried the best I could for me to do it. And yet I still went ahead and did it instead of saying, no, no, you know, like it's not perfect. I didn't do it, but still being able to do it, you know, is really empowering for me because it's, you know, allowing me to know that I don't have to be perfect at anything. And I think it's the Amish that I learned a few years ago. I could be wrong, so if there's any Amish people out there, is that they didn't believe in perfection. So it's like whenever they made furniture or something like that, they made sure to leave an imperfection. So that way they knew that, you know, no one was perfect and that nothing in this world was perfect or flawless, I should say. So so that kind of like gave me, you know, comfort to know that I, you know, do not have to be flawless at playing. I can still make my mistakes, but still be able to play in front of people, which is the total opposite compared to when I was younger and taking piano lessons, where it was pounded in me that you have to get everything right. Every note, you know, needed to be done on key. You know, you have to do it over and over again, you know, because you got a recital coming up and you cannot have any mistakes when you're playing in that recital. And so that was like hounded into me during my younger days when I was, you know, having piano lessons. And so for me to be able to, you know, not be focused on that and being able to play and be okay with the mistakes took a lot of practice for me to do. When I first got into it, my heart was racing. I mean, like the first month, like my heart was racing. I was, you know, getting nervous. You know, I mean, it's like my hands were actually shaking and I was trying to play. And it's like, and no one said anything, which I think was great. And they just said, well, thank you for playing. And that helped build my confidence up for me to be able to say, hey, you know, wow, this is actually is okay for me to play with mistakes. And it's that way through life. You know, it's like we all trip and fall. But being able to, you know, have that center, have the confidence, have the hope, and have the meekness and the goodness and the peace that we have, it definitely helps with everything else that's around us. And that's just part of, you know, what we do and what I try to educate with my patients with. And it for a lot of them, it's just, you know, I just can't stress enough like how or just how excited I get, you know, seeing them and seeing them, you know, like develop and learn and, you know, and have just this new outlook on life and being able to do what they need to do. And they're just like, oh my gosh, you know, like my kids feel like that they've got, you know, their parent back and I'm actually spending time with them. And I mean, it's just hearing stuff like that, you know, just really empowers me because I see how much it meant to them and to their family. For those things, I said, do I, you know, does this happen with everyone? No, it doesn't. So I mean, it's like some people, I can help some people. I can't, it just depends on what's going on. And a lot of times I do have to refer out. So I'm not the end all be all as far as doctors go. You know, it's like we all have our strengths and weaknesses in the medical field. And, but it's like those ones who, I guess who gravitate towards me and whom I can help, you know, I mean, it's, I like that. And I get frustrated whenever there's some that I can't help. And, but I'm glad though, that at least I'm able to refer them out to maybe someone who can help them better than I could. So, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I feel like I'm on cloud nine right now with all this. And I, I saw there was a song by Michael Webb, which is called Like a Lighthouse. And it talks about how like Christ is our light and how, you know, like we're supposed to focus on him and how through like the stormy seas and stuff like that, that happens. And that's why we have these lighthouses, that lighthouse is basically our beacon, our foundation that we need to build on in order for us to have the calm and peace that we need. So, you know, I think that Michael Webb did a good job with that song in being able to represent, you know, that what we're all looking for, which is basically the self-confidence that we need for us to be able not to be engaged in the chaos around us, but being able to have that peace and for us to be able to be centered. It's almost like when you're in, I guess like a hurricane, there's calm in the center of it, even though there's chaos around. And I also like it too, like with the law of entropy and with the chaos and with the peace, is there's a science channel that was talking about like what's going on in the universe, you know, like planets colliding with each other and solar systems being created and planets being either drawn like into black holes or flung out into outer space. And for us, we're sitting here on this planet and we look up at the stars and everything looks so calm and peaceful to us, when on the outside there's like all this, you know, like destruction and construction that's going on and new stars being born, stars that are, you know, like dying or collapsing or new solar systems being created. So, I mean, it's like everything's like expanding and contracting. So it's not only like with us that this happens too, but it's also happening out in our universe as well. We're at this point where we're at, as we look out, we're almost like in the center of that hurricane, you know, seeing like the calm that's in there when there's like all the storms around us. And which I didn't know was out there. So I was like, I was so like encaptured by, by this channel that was on the science channel and what's going on with the universe these days. And it's so that here again, you know, like I'm like a sci-fi freak. And so I keep wondering, it's like, everything that's going on with Star Trek. I'm like, okay, so it's like with stuff that we have going on here, is it like Star Trek? And it's and some of it is and some of it isn't. And I kind of like the concept of both, like that the reality of the fiction is sometimes comes into play with the black hole and vortexes and subatomic chains and all that other stuff. So it and it looks like that we are close to time. And at Dawn, do we have any callers or? Okay. So, and but just to kind of with us, let's go ahead and talk about some herbs that help out with gut issues. Some of the herbs that I like is licorice. Is a really good one. It's anti-inflammatory. It actually helps for the healing process of the gut. Glutamine is one. It's an amino acid specifically for gut rebuild and being able to put the lining back in for the gut in order for the gut to be able to move things. Sometimes we need to put like digestive enzymes in during that time. And so what happens is that because of the stress that we're under, our excitatory neurotransmitters are going, which means that our body really doesn't want to digest. Because if we're in a restful, peaceful state, then our body actually wants to digest food. So a lot of times we have to add enzymes in order for the digestive process to start. So then that way you're not getting the inflammation that might have been going on with the gut issues. And then also like allergy testing, because a lot of our foods are actually genetically been genetically altered. A lot of our foods can actually produce the inflammation that's going on inside the gut as well. So sometimes it's just something as simple as that. And depending on, it's like with gluten sensitivity, they're finding out that you don't necessarily have to have celiac disease to have gluten sensitivity. They're not quite exactly sure where the gluten sensitivity is coming from. I mean, it's like they have some ideas, but this is like a protein that the body is just not going to digest. I mean, and so for a lot of people, they can end up with like weight gain or water retention. A lot of people can't lose weight because their body is such an inflamed process that the body isn't able to function the way it needs to. It's more on the inflammatory aspect and trying to work on that. And instead of trying to work on, like doing what any like normal state is supposed to be. So what happens is that our normal, because it becomes a different normal because of that inflammatory state. And sometimes that can bring on the insomnia and other things as well, like other health issues end up, coming in because you're in such an inflamed state all the time. And so that one I think is like huge for something like that. You can still have gluten sensitivity even if your food allergy test comes out negative. Because they're starting to notice now that even if you have a negative response for gluten sensitivity, a lot of people can still have it. It's there are many times where I feel like I'm the canary in the coal mine just for like how sensitive my body is to some things. It's like table sugar is a huge allergen. It's like even like one teaspoon of table sugar can actually decrease your immune system for 4 hours. And so if people are like craving sugar all the time, that's something they might want to look at, is that you might be allergic to it. And so having like agave juice, which, or stevia, which doesn't fluctuate the blood sugars the way like normal table sugar does, or even artificial sweeteners, is probably a better way to go with something like that. Because it's like if you're having the sugar in the diet sodas or even regular sodas, what happens is that you're getting those spikes in your insulin that your body really doesn't need if it's an inflammatory state. So, I mean, it's like for me, I personally, especially during this cold and flu season, you know, wouldn't want my immune system depressed for 4 to 5 hours, because it's like, who knows what I'm going to pick up on. So it's not just hand washing that we all need to do. It's also, you know, limiting the sugars that are, you know, in a lot of our diets for us to be able to keep our immune systems up. And especially whenever you have like gut issues going on, it can affect a lot of things, because it's like with your immune system and stuff, I mean, it's like the colon isn't called the second brain for nothing. And there are so much of your immune system wrapped around the colon that it, you know, I mean, it would be affected if it is damaged at all. I mean, even like micro bits of it, toxins can come out if you have like leaky gut, because you got these little micro tears in your colon that can create inflammation for people. It can mask, you know, like arthritis. It can mask headaches. Here again, like food allergies, you know, a whole bunch of stuff just from having leaky gut and having all this going on at this time. So there's, I mean, it's like when it comes to gut issues, it is so more complex than being straightforward. That, I mean, there's just, I mean, I'm glad we've got, you know, it's like colonoscopies and like our, you know, upper and lower GIs to kind of test all this stuff out. And sometimes it works, and sometimes you're just one of those lucky ones where you have absolutely no idea, you know, like what's going on. So, you know, it's a, you know, unfortunately, I do have some of those patients where they are just a mystery, and they're just like, I've been to every doctor and I have no idea what to do. And, you know, once we start working on them and being able to, you know, like build them up and see, you know, because as naturopaths, we see people as whole. We treat, you know, we try to, you know, instead of treating the symptoms, we try and find the source of what it is that we do. And that, what makes this different than, you know, than any other medicine that's out there, is being able to see the person as a whole from every aspect of it and being able to help them out as best as we can. So, and just like the, what happens between, you know, seeing the emotion between, you know, like, and trying to control the emotion between like my daughter and the new dog that we have, it's, it can be the same way. So, and my daughter is now wanting to have my microphone. So do you want to say hi to everybody before we close? Okay, say hi.
I'm here.
Yeah, just go ahead and say hi.
Who are they?
So it's just everyone out there who's listening to this broadcast.
Okay.
Yep, just go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
So, all right. So that's my little, my daughter is my shining light in my life, and I absolutely am proud to be a mom and a doctor too. So, and I think we're going to conclude for today. So thank you everyone for listening.